Preparation, guys. It wouldn't be an NC production if it wasn't awkward as fuck. It's on brand.
How do you do the awkward turtle with just audio?
No, we don't.
Speaking.
There needs to be, like, a sound effect for it. Like, woo. Maybe not that, but...
I'm sure Jams can insert, like, some sort of alien weird sound or something that we can adopt as our awkward turtle. Welcome, curious crowd, to another awkward episode of It's on the List. It is October. It is full swing. Halloween is coming up. It's almost over. Is it just me or does October just always go by way too fast?
I think it does because I always like it too much and I want it to be October forever.
Yes.
It just, because like Christmas feels like it just drags on forever, but I feel like because it bleeds into November so much that like it gets 2 months instead of its designated 1 month, which is unfair.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And now it gets 2.5 because I think because it's 2020 and everyone's miserable, I feel like they are pushing Christmas stuff out even sooner than they usually do. Yeah. Like all the stores I've been going in have been like, total Christmas already.
September.
So. Yeah. It's crazy.
Unacceptable.
No offense,
unacceptable.
Christmas, but back off my holiday.
I fully mean offense. I'd like things to have, like, their designated time. I mean, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, in the spirit of all things spooky, our last episode, we covered, covered Get Out with Jen, because, well, it's Jen, and the type of interview that I wanted to have about Get Out wasn't really able to happen, because she wasn't in the right state of mind of enjoying it to really do a deep dive on it.
Poor Jen.
So, yes. So it was more a deep dive on Jen's psychology on horror, which was still really, really fun and very, very interesting. But this is more the kind of talk that I was expecting to have about Get Out. But obviously this time we have the horror experts present. So hello. I am joined by Jams. Say hi, Jams. And the beautiful Shannon.
Hi!
So you guys should be familiar with Shannon. You've seen her face multiple times on our Twitch stream. Make sure you're subscribed to that. She's the one that coined subscription or death. I have fully adopted that as our motto. So, yes. But we are all horror freaks, and we're actually going to be talking about more spooky stuff on Thursday on our Twitch stream. So make sure to tune into that. I should technically be plugging this at the end, but I'm changing the order here, guys, because my brain right now is all over the place. And I'm just preparing you with just how random and unorganized this conversation is about to be.
It's fine. It's perfect.
Okay. So this is what happens to me when I get ridiculously excited about a property. And today we're going to be talking about The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah. That's, like, definitely a let me gather myself about my feelings about this show kind of sigh.
Yes. Now, you guys all know that my memory is shit, so I genuinely cannot remember if we had an in-depth discussion about Hell House.
No, we didn't.
Did we, James?
What?
Okay.
What? Okay.
I know. It's a, it's a travesty that didn't happen. So there may be a little bit of a bleed in, I'm going to try to keep it together, guys. I really, but, cause I don't want to keep these girls here for 3 hours. Cause I already told them I could talk about the show forever and people have shit to do. So
it's fine. it's still like half of a quarantine. So we can totally do just like 3 hours. It's fine.
So, for anyone who's been living under a rock and hasn't seen this, you need to go see it. Don't listen to this. Go watch it and then come and listen to this, because I am not going to not spoil.
Yeah, spoilers ahead alert.
Yes.
For both shows, we should say. For both Hill House and Yes. Bly.
And Bly. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, if you haven't seen either of them, you technically shouldn't be following us. Anyway.
How dare!
So, how dare you? Now go! Go watch them, enjoy them, and then come back and listen to this, please. But if you are unaware of what this is, these are shows on Netflix. Some people have been describing it as a sequel. It's not, they're completely independent stories told by the same group of folks. Haunting of Blind Manor specifically is, I'm reading off a wiki here, guys, so if anything is wrong, don't blame me, blame the wiki. The Haunting of Blind Manor is an American supernatural horror drama streaming television series. Good grief, that's a mouthful. Netflix, by the way. Created by Mike Flanagan, who is a fucking genius.
Yes.
And loosely based on Henry James's work, particularly in his 1898 novella, The Turn of the Screw. Something tells me James will probably be interested in all of those original stories that he pulled from, since you're in like a whole like classic spooky tale hunt right now.
Ooh, okay.
I'll send you the link to that so that you can maybe look for that book, because I feel like that's up your alley. It is a follow-up series to The Haunting of Hill House, and the second entry in the Haunting Anthology series. So it is officially an anthology series.
Which is exciting, because that means we're going to get more. I keep forgetting this is just audio, and I made a really excited face, and I was like, wait, no one's seeing my really excited face. I'm very excited.
I kind of hope that we get The Haunting of Ashburn House next.
Ooh, I don't know what that is. What is that?
Yeah, what is that?
So The Haunting of Ashburn House is a book by Dr. Coates. The synopsis that it has is, people whisper rumors about a family murdered at Ashburn House. They say its old owner Edith went mad in the building and that restless ghosts walk the halls at night.
Ooh.
Nice. What year is that from?
2016, so it's fairly new.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool. All right. I can appreciate a modern tale. It sounds pretty classic, though.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. All right. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what Mike decides to do. I've been obsessively researching the project. I was just telling the girls before we jumped on, and then I was like, okay, we need to hit record because I'm already going to start talking about it. But I was researching on Collider, and Collider actually wrote an article of them suggesting to just putting it out in the universe, suggesting to Mike on what other stories that he could kind of focus on.
Yeah.
And because he's so interested in, like, particularly classic stories, like, from the 1800s and, like, just early century stuff, a lot of them were suggesting, like, Edgar Allan Poe stuff, finding a way to kind of, like, integrate all that. They felt that that was a little bit probably too on the nose, but they did suggest, like, a variety of other old school novels and stuff. There are a few articles out there that really do a deep dive on the stories that Mike pulled from of Henry James's. There was also another author that he was pulling from that I don't have offhand. But if you want more intel on just how this man is, like, pulling all this stuff together, definitely do your research. It's really a fun deep dive to go into. I'm not gonna bore you with that. That's just my own personal thing. So let's see. The creative team and much of the cast of Hill House returned for Bly Manor, but the two series narratives are not connected. Funnily enough, I did watch the Victoria Pedretti interview with Collider, where she said that she didn't feel much of a connection from going from Hill House to Bly Manor, because the crew was obviously completely different because they were filming in a different country. And, even though and there was too few of the original cast that also kind of came over. So she did feel that it was a distinctly different energy, which it feels like a completely different show.
There's definitely callbacks.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's totally different.
Right.
Even like the general vibe is different. Like, I don't know. like Hill House is scary, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Even as like a horror person, like Hill House is like scary. And I feel like Bly is more just like creepy. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you're totally right. Yeah. That was
actually, you're right.
Gonna be like my first
question
for the no. I like it when it flows organically because then I don't have to do too much work. Like for both of you, is that like basically between the two, did you feel one was scarier than the other?
Oh yeah,
and I think we all agree that Hill House was totally
scarier. Oh totally,
definitely,
yeah. Yeah, and I mean I doubt that anyone would be listening to this that like didn't see one or the other, but like that's kind of what I've been, even like people who haven't seen either and aren't horror people, I'm kind of like watch Bly at least, because it's not, there's obviously like there's a few scares in it, like I don't know, especially towards the end there's some jumpy stuff, but and it's definitely like it gives you that like creepy like vibe, but it's not. There were multiple times in Hill House where, like, I jumped or I was like, this is, like, creepy, like, really, like, good scary. Mm-hmm. And Bly kind of just has, like, I don't know. I don't know if there's really a difference between scary and creepy. I feel like there is.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I feel like Bly was just kind of, like, creepy rather than an actual scary show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the key difference between creepy and scary is the fact that you have a physical response, a very active or a much louder physical response when something is scary.
Yeah.
Versus when it's creepy, it's you have a response, but it's a really subdued kind of skin crawling, uncomfortable feeling that you don't necessarily have to like physically express. Yeah. But it's there.
Yeah, it's definitely there. And I don't know. I mean, like, for anyone who is listening to this and hasn't seen Hill House, like, there's one that everyone talks about and everyone will immediately know if you've seen it. Like, there's one part at the very end of the show that I think I jumped a foot in the air. Like, so, and there's not...
The car scene?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that fucked me.
Oh, my God. Like, both me and Chris, my husband, Chris, which you guys know, but in case anyone doesn't know that's listening, we literally jumped, like, a foot in the air when that happened. And that we didn't really have that any of those kind of moments in Bly at all. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only time that I jumped while watching Bly was probably, when Danny is talking to Flora and then the Lady of the Lake comes up and like grabs her by the neck.
Yeah.
I think I just had a little jolt, but it wasn't like a, you know, like a full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I may have jumped also when Danny is like also standing out. It's every time when she's outside. What the fuck? She's standing outside of the manor. And she turns around, and it was right after Owen's mom had passed away and he left, and she sees her ex's ghost, and then he gets, like, sucked into the house. It's not necessarily a frightening thing, but I think it was just the sound, and, I mean, it was almost gimmicky at that point, because it's just like, we haven't had a proper scare for you, so here's this random thing. But it did get something out of me, because I think I was, like, lulled and emotional at that point, so I just wasn't expecting it, and it did catch me off guard.
Yeah.
But, Jams, I know you're, like, a super scary freak, so you probably didn't jump at all during the season, did you?
No, I think the first moment that kind of made me, like, oh, was the first scene where Flora is, like, singing, and then we see the first faceless ghost and she's like shh. Then I was like, okay,
yeah. Yeah,
creepy ass children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that, like, during the course of the whole show, the kid, like the like doll face kid, creeped me out the entire time. Kids are scary.
Like, they are.
Kids are terrifying when they're in horror movies and stuff. But that one, I feel like, and I feel like I saw like an interview with somebody in the cast that everyone was like, yes, on set, that was literally a scary, scary ghost. So yeah, that was, that kind of creeped me out throughout, but it's definitely not.
I think it's just because, I don't know how you feel about dolls. Are you afraid of dolls? Because I'm terrified of dolls. I fucking hate dolls.
No, but I feel like it's a good horror thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like, okay, so I'm scared of clowns. Like, if I see a clown out in the world, I'm already scared. If I see, like, a, even if it's, like, an old, creepy looking doll out in the world, like, I'm not scared of it. I think it's a really effective way to scare people in movies and in books and stuff, but yeah, I'm not actively scared of dolls.
Okay. I feel like I make that connection with children. Where they look like they're so closely tied to visually to dolls that I'm just kind of like, everything's just creepy.
kids are creepy. That's all it is. Kids are creepy.
Well, at least in horror movies.
Yeah.
In horror movies. No,
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, no comment. We are going to touch on the cast because it's just ridiculous levels of talent in this fucking show. Good horror in itself is a rarity. And one of the things that we actually touched on, James and I, when we were talking to Jen on Get Out, was the fact that horror is seeming to be kind of taking a shift where there's, like, horror with purpose and depth, which is the best kind.
Yes.
And it is unfortunate that the genre as a whole doesn't really get the respect that it deserves, and particularly with storytelling when it is on a deeper level and there's a... It's not gratuitous, and it's not for some sort of, you know, shock value. It actually is trying to make a point. Hill House and Bly, something that I feel that Mike and team have really done a good job is to give it a lot of soul and kind of... it's like a philosophy slash psychology lesson in both, because everything is kind of an analysis on just human nature, because everything's really fucked.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the best way possible. So, shout out to the cast. Victoria Pedretti, who plays Danny. Oliver Jackson Cohen, of course, who plays Peter Quint. Amelia Yee, who plays Jamie. Carla, and I always forget how to pronounce her last name. Is it Gugino or Gugino? I don't know. I apologize, Carla.
I have no
idea. Awesome. I love you. but she plays older Jamie / the storyteller. Tania Miller, who I am officially obsessed with.
Yeah.
Who plays Hannah Gross.
Hannah.
I could talk about her for this.
I love her.
Rahul Kohli, who plays Owen Sharma.
Yes.
Beautiful man, side note.
Great mustache.
Jams.
Great mustache.
he's a lot. If you don't follow him on Twitter, I highly recommend it. Kamal Khan, who plays the older Owen. And a bunch of other people, in all honesty, that are just ridiculous. Henry Thomas obviously is back as Henry Wingrave. And for someone who was, like, out of the acting gig for as long as he was to jump, like, way to jump the fuck back in, dude.
With an accent and everything. Like, a decent accent. I thought, well, I'm not British, so I don't, maybe it wasn't. But I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like out of all of the Americans doing a British accent, he was probably the one, the better one, for sure. I've got some words for Oliver on his Scottish thing, but I'll let that slide. Shout out to Amelia B. Smith, who plays Flora.
She was perfectly splendid.
Jams totally ruined it for me.
I can't help it. Peppa Pig.
She also does the voice of Peppa Pig. So
there were times when she was speaking when I'm just like, that's Peppa. I can't handle it. But she is amazing. Props to her.
I didn't find that out until the last, what was it? Was it Curious Bites that we did? When you said that, I was like,
I didn't even know. When she told me, that was the reaction I had when we were just starting to watch it, and she said that, I was just like, what? I will not be able to unhear that now. I'm just going to be picturing the fucking Peppa Pig walking around Bly Manor.
That's so funny. Anyway.
And then Benjamin Evan Ainsworth, who is young Miles, who, again, incredible young actors.
Yeah.
That, I mean, wow.
Seriously.
They were something else. Okay, so shout out to all of those folks. Again, I really, really want to go episode by episode, but I can't keep people here for 5 hours. So let's just say, like, what is your favorite episode?
God.
Boxy.
No, I don't know. I'm not prepared.
Well, okay. Well, if it's easier, like, what is a favorite moment?
There's too many. I'll say this, because there's very few not wonderful things that I have to say about the series, but I will say, unfortunately, that the last episode lost me a little bit. It dragged a little bit for me, where I was like, okay, what's the purpose of this? Like, why is this, like, I kind of got like, all right, let's move on a little bit. So, and not terrible where I was like, this sucks, but I was like, okay, like what, like, let's go. Because I feel like both with Hill House and with pretty much all of Bly, it moves like it, like you're ready. Like, I don't know, like it really just, you don't realize how quickly you're going through it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, in the last episode was really the only one where I was like, kind of like, where is this going? I'm confused. Now that I've thought about it and I've said all that, I can absolutely tell you what my favorite episode was. The Hannah episode.
Okay.
Because I love her. it was so good, because I was so, I mean, I'll say this outright. I'm not very good at like guessing what's going to happen. Like, I usually have no idea what's going on in a show or a movie until like they really spell it out for you. So I had no idea like what her deal was at all. I didn't understand like the cracks in the walls or like anything. And even for most of her episode, I was like, I don't really get what's going on here, until obviously like the end. And then I was like, okay. So yeah, that was definitely my favorite, but I just love her. Every moment with Hannah was my favorite in the series. I love her so much.
She's unbelievable, powerhouse. And I have to come in right after you saying it on both counts, actually, because I want to ask you, did you have that, were you pretty much satisfied with Hill House, like from start to finish, or did you have a similar thing like this one where the last episode was the one where you like kind of took pause?
No, Hill House, I was good with every, there's, I don't think there's literally one bad thing that I can say, or even slightly bad thing that I can say about Hill House. Like from start to finish, I loved every minute of that show. Bly, yeah, the end kind of dragged a little bit for me. I felt more, this isn't even necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like they kept the mystery out in Bly a little bit longer, because I felt confused more during Bly, where I was like, I don't understand what's happening here, where there's parts of that, obviously, in Hill House, because you're waiting to find out, like, why things are happening and everything else, but with Bly, I was kind of like, what is happening? Who is that? Like, I don't know. I guess I just felt confused more often.
I think with Bly, what they did was this, the way that they did the time jumping was just a lot. It was just a lot more rich. And I think a lot more, more detailed than, Hill House. And because with Hill House, I feel like everyone was so directly connected because it was all family.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Bly, the stories individually were a lot more rich because obviously they're not all like together all at the same time anyway. So you're kind of having to keep track of like all of these little bits of flashes that you're getting every single episode, even though each episode is kind of dedicated. Like, I think it's starting at episode 5, everything is kind of dedicated to a specific character as like a main focus.
Yeah.
But it's funny that you said that about how you have that for Hill House and Bly, because I'm the opposite.
Really?
I hated the last episode of Hill House, and this was, like, the first one that was, like, where it was, like, a complete thing where I was like, okay, I can't, I don't have anything bad for Bly at all. So I find that, that's why I found it interesting that you said it, because I don't know what it was about Hill House, the very, very last episode, that really took me out of it, but I remember I messaged Jams, and I was just like, what the fuck is this ending?
That's so interesting.
How are you
going
to try to be getting out of this fucking house, and now you want to stay in the house? I was so mad. But I do find that particularly fascinating. Now, on Hannah, the Hannah episode, I think my main thing that I really, really loved about it was I knew there was something up with her, because I did have a feeling that she was already... Sorry?
The eating thing. Like, she would never...
Yeah, like... Right. So, yeah, I was already kind of getting a sense, okay, this lady's dead.
Yeah.
But, the way that they played it out, though, was so creative and so not predictable that I just really, really enjoyed it. And I actually, at first, they made me start second-guessing myself on whether she was dead or not, because in the last bits of episode 4, when Owen's mom passes away and they do, like, the whole bonfire thing, and he goes through his whole speech about his mom's dementia and stuff, the parallels that they set with Hannah doing all of the flashes is a visual representation of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was starting to think, I was like, oh my God, please don't tell me that the woman that he loves also has dementia.
Yeah.
I was so freaking devastated. But then when they actually like show you that she is deceased, which is even worse. Well, I don't know if that's worse, but I'm so in love with that episode. I just can't.
It was really well done, and
it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, I was heartbroken at the end of it because I was like, no. Yeah.
I know,
but it was such a good episode. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Dams, what's a gripe if you have one, and your favorite epi?
So I'll do my favorite first. Aside from the Hannah episode, I really loved the episode that told the story of Viola and Perdita. That was a really good backstory to learn on why Viola became what she became, and she trapped herself with her own need to be possessive over things, and so she has to pull everyone else in with her, and it was kind of interesting to learn that and why the ghosts end up not having faces, because that was the thing from the beginning. I was like, why don't they have faces?
Again, just like super creative ways of like showing like loss of identity and like what happens with like metaphorical ways of showing what happens when you get tied to toxic mm-hmm. people. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause with Viola, as much as with Peter, because he's
mm-hmm.
toxic dude, but just showing how people just like get drawn or sucked into these weird orbits is just it's some fascinating shit. If you want to think, guys, watch this show.
Well, and that's the, I think that's what I like too, is it's such a good show to talk about, because there's so much stuff that, like, some people get out of it, and others, like, and even just so far us talking, there's so much stuff that, like, I never looked at or, like, thought of in a certain way that you guys did. Like, it's so, there's so many layers to it, and you can see it in so many different ways. Yeah, I don't know. It's such a good show. It's so, both of them are so good.
Mm-hmm. James, what were you going to say?
Oh, before Castiel started meowing. I think the one moment in the show where I was like, no, what, was when they showed what Peter did to Miss Jessel. I'm like, she didn't ask for this. How could you do that to her?
Mm-hmm.
Jerk.
He's just... Oliver does a really, really good job just in general of playing, like, really, really damaged characters very well. And I know that based off of the interview that I just watched of him and kind of Mike's planning, Mike was initially just writing a character who was bad for bad's sake, I think. And Oliver tends to have the need to make a human villain. So I feel like they collaborated a lot to kind of flesh him out a little bit more and make you feel sorry for him, because he obviously did have a horrible childhood. Mm-hmm. And he said something in the interview that I thought was good, which was his upbringing damaged him to the point where he can't, where he doesn't have, like, a normal kind of capability for empathy and things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So he's just there's really no coming back from that. But his life was just starting, or he had hope because he had found, you know, someone who he actually loved in his way. Because I could argue that. And then obviously that got taken away from him by the Lady of the Lake. And so what would that do to a soul, because he's dead at that point, of having had been, like, so close to the brink of having everything that you want and having that hope and then having that get taken away. And being a toxic person living, he's going to continue being a toxic fuck at the end, after the fact. So it's just, it's a lot. As much as I love Oliver, I'd probably have to say he's probably my least mm-hmm. favorite character.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I know too many assholes.
he made me so sad. Because I loved mm-hmm. Luke so much from Hill House.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen, I know he's like an asshole in mm-hmm. Invisible mm-hmm. Man, but I haven't watched that yet.
You
haven't watched it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't watched
it.
She's like,
yeah. Yeah. I that falls into one of the categories of, like, I can't watch this in 2020. Like, I really want to see it, but I don't know if I'm in the right frame of mind to watch it right now. I really want to see it, but it might have to wait a little bit. But, yeah, like, I loved Luke so much. Like, so much. So to see him, like, such a dick in this show. Yeah. I was like, this is breaking my heart. Like, why? Because it was easy to go from, like, this is kind of off topic, but I had issues with Bly just because I was so connected to the characters from Hill House. And it was easy with Nell and Danny because I liked them both a lot. So that mm-hmm. was easy. But with the other two, I was like, and I guess not as much with, like, Kate, because she was just really around for one episode. But yeah, I found myself, like, and this is where I might be a little bit too into Hill House, because I was like, I miss my characters. Like, I miss the Cranes. Like, not that Bly isn't good, but, like, I'm these actors are all together and I know them as the Cranes and I miss right. their characters. Right. So I had some issues with that. Especially with what's his face with Pete.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah.
I just loved Luke so much. Yeah. But yeah.
You'll find it interesting to know that Victoria in her interview with Collider, she actually says, sorry, Collider, I'm totally pimping them out. She's like, if you want to sponsor us, you're welcome to. She actually said that they had gotten some feedback because initially when they were being recast in this story, Mike had basically given them options of which characters for them to read for. And for Oliver, he had actually told him, it's like, you can be Pete or you can be the groundskeeper. So if he would have, like, that would have been weird for you to see Victoria and Oliver as a romantic couple. And Victoria actually brought that up because she was just like, she mentioned it as an actor. It's just like, can folks just like separate the characters from the actors? Like, we should all just do that in general.
Yes.
But still, it's just kind of, it's still weird. It's a weird, you know, because you're like, it's the same group of folks. It's technically the same. You're always going to have that connection between Hill House and Bly.
Right.
And so seeing these people like brother and sister to like being lovers is still just, it's just odd. It's just a weird
switch. And I think, well, I think with me particularly, it's just like, I don't, like, I feel like I've seen Victoria Pendretti and other stuff. And I'm, like, I don't really see her as Nell. But I think it's because it's essentially, like, the next part of this anthology.
Right.
And because she's with those other actors. And I think that's why, and it's also, like, with Oliver, it's just such a, like, a character that I, like, absolutely love to a character that I'm like, he's the worst. So it's such a dramatic change. So, or again, I really just like Till House a little bit too much and I'm a little bit too connected to it. Yeah. And I refuse to let go of it. So, yeah.
I totally understand. And my personal thing, too, was, like, because I was telling Jams when we were kind of, we were messaging back and forth when we were both watching it, and I messaged her that it threw me off a little bit that they gave Oliver the Scottish brogue, because it was just kind of, I just wasn't expecting it, and I couldn't actually tell if he was trying to do a Scottish one, and it would dip into Irish lilt a little bit, and I was just kind of like,
it's a little weird.
What's happening here? And so I was just like, again, I love Oliver. He's ridiculously talented. I think I want to see him in more stuff, obviously. And also, he's absolutely beautiful. I get it. I get it. I totally get it. They could have gotten a Scottish actor to do it.
True. Yeah. He's definitely better.
I have one in mind.
He's definitely better at his American accent than his Scottish accent.
He did really well. Like, I feel like by the end of it, I think it was just my own personal brain just not being able to switch. It's kind of the same, like, at the very, very start where Carla speaks in an English accent, and it just threw me off a little bit. Yeah. And it's not that they're doing a bad job. It's just my brain was just kind of like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But still, it was just like, I did watch it, and I was just like, man, Richard would have been really good in this role. But anyway, I digress. I want to see him in everything, so it doesn't really count. I have a bias. Jams, did you have like a character that you felt really like tied to or had a connection?
Well, other than the fact that we have the same name, I really liked Jamie. I just, yeah, I loved how quirky and, like, just blunt she was. And I really loved seeing her and Danny get together. That was
Do you think they were the heart of the show?
I do, yeah. I feel like they're, like, the, what she said at the end, she said, this isn't a ghost story, this is a love story. And it was really their love story. So much more than it was a ghost story.
Yeah.
Perfect segue. You set me up. I spent 30 minutes trying to find this fucking tweet. So on September 28th, before they released the show, Netflix actually released an interview that they had with Mike Flanagan and executive producer Trevor Macy. This tweet we actually covered in our Curious Bites on a Sunday a while back, and it is part of our newsletter, if you want to link to it. If not, just go to Netflix, go to the Haunting of Bly Manor Twitter, and you'll see it. In that, Mike said, if there's one thing that I hope fans take away, is that the two ghost stories and love stories are really the same thing. How each of us, when we fall in love, is kind of giving birth to a new ghost, something that's going to follow us for the rest of our lives. That completely destroyed me when I read it. But that got me really excited to watch the show, because they were basically describing it as a gothic romance. And so I was just like, in! I'm in it! So,
God, he's so good.
They really stayed... Isn't he? So many problems. I hate smart people. Okay. Okay, so Foxy, is there a character that you really connected to this season?
I'm trying to think connected, because obviously, like, Hannah I loved so much.
What's up, yo?
I loved Hannah so much, but I don't know if I connected with her. Connected.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's one in particular. I feel like there's bits and pieces of all of them that I can connect with. Mm-hmm. I will say, this is getting, like, talking about getting into, like, Jen psyche, this is, like, going deep. This is...
Yeah, no, that's totally cool.
I don't know, like, there's... with Owen... I remember getting kind of emotional with it because my grandmother had dementia, and like just the way that he like described it, and like specifically there's a point, I don't know what episode it is, sorry, I should have done better research, but there's a part where he says like she was gone, like she was already gone, and like that's exactly how it is. Like, I don't know, like my grandmother passed away essentially from dementia, and like it was almost easier when she did, because she wasn't her for such a long time. So that kind of hit me hard, like that I connected with really hard. I was like, that's a very accurate way to describe it. But I think there, yeah, like there's just bits and pieces of everybody. I don't really think there's one that I was like, which actually is the same thing for Hill House. As much as I love those characters, there were bits and pieces of everybody that I kind of got. There wasn't like, I just said how much I love Luke, but like, you know, like I really just loved all of them. Like, this is funny, but every time I talk to you guys, I mention Supernatural. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
So the actor who was young Steven in Hill House was in the last Supernatural episode, and like to give you an idea of how much I love those characters, I like screamed for like 5 minutes. I was like, oh my god, it's Steve. And Chris is like, are you gonna be all right, like are you okay? But yeah, like I think that's probably one of the things about like the series, like the anthology series in general, that I love so much, is that like I connect to all of the characters, and there's bits and pieces of all of them that I really, I mean, even Pete, like there's right. As much as he's such a dick, like we all have that asshole inside of us, and there's, you know, like there were things that he like responded to, and just things that he said where I was like, as much as you're such a dick, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, sure. I don't think that there's one, but the thing that I guess just the stuff that Owen said about dementia, like, I felt probably more than anything else that was said on that show, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'd have to mirror that myself as well, where I feel like I connected the most and I saw most of myself in Owen. Mm. And in turn, it kind of bled into Hannah just because of just how much they were connected. But all of that feeling of, like, lost opportunity and self-sacrifice and not being able to focus on the things that you want to do, and then feeling relieved but feeling guilty about feeling relieved once things are done. And my number one fear, I can very comfortably say, I can't picture anything worse than dementia and Alzheimer's.
Hmm.
I feel like, God willing, if that ever happened to me and you start losing bits of yourself, I can't imagine anything worse.
Yeah.
I feel like it's super frightening. But yeah, I feel like between episode 4 and episode 5, I probably cried the most. And I was just like a complete just mess.
Yeah.
During like the whole bonfire situation. And then also the scene with all of them in the dining room and Flora talking to him about death and about what was it? I wrote it down. Why am I trying to guess it? Oh, the death doesn't mean you're gone speech was particularly strong coming from that child.
Yeah.
And obviously coming from a child, it was just like, I was just a mess. It was not pretty. It was not a pretty scene. But was there a, similarly to that, was there a particular event or line or just something kind of triggering that you didn't expect? I mean, you kind of touched on it because of the dementia talk, mm-hmm. but I wasn't sure if there was something that was, it's just something else where it gave you some sort of, it just hit deeper than what you thought it would hit, especially coming from a horror show.
I gotta think about this. Jams, you go.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the dementia because my grandmother passed away from Alzheimer's as well. So that definitely resonated with me.
Yeah. The whole, like, thing of the show, I mean, even with, like, the ghosts, mm-hmm. like, losing who they were and everything, that's, I mean, like, they just did a really, it's hard to say, like, they did a really good job because it's such a horrible thing, but, like, it was just done really well.
It's just something really abstract, and a lot of people just don't understand it. So to actually give it not only a visual representation, but actually showing the process, I feel like that's mainly why episode 5 was my favorite, the Hannah Gross episode. Because I feel that her skipping and her jumping from door to door is legitimately, like, the best version of storytelling to show what that would actually be like without literally saying this is what dementia is like.
Yeah,
because that was just her experience of being a ghost, of being dead. But God, that's fucking mm-hmm. scary. I would hate living that existence.
Yeah,
that's just devastating. Could you think of another one, or do you want me to go?
I will say that it's interesting to me that you're saying that, like dementia or Alzheimer's is your biggest fear, because, like, mine is, like, losing people. So, like, I went through with my grandmother, and, like, it's not that it wasn't sad, but I don't know. Like, I didn't feel, while I was like, I relate to that, it didn't make me as sad as, like, the ending, because, like, that killed me, because I was like, this is, like, they were so much in love, and like this is how it ended up, and like that I hated, because like that's like a thing of mine of like, you know, like loving someone so much and then like losing them like that and then having to like continue on, which there's, I mean, even with Hill House, that's, there's a theme of that too, but like that bothered me more, I guess. Like, that's a weird thing to say, but like that I was just like, no. And maybe, I mean, to be honest, that might be why I was upset with the ending, because I was like, really, like this is how it's gonna be, like I've loved these characters for so long and now this is how it ends, okay, great. I don't know, maybe I wanted a happier ending, I don't know. But
you actually mirrored exactly the speech that like grown up Flora has with James.
Yes.
Because that was like her big fear of losing her husband. Yes. Because they loved each other so much.
Yes.
So it's like you legitimately just line for line basically gave that same
Mean, like with that, I mean, that part in particular, like, yes, absolutely. Like I'm 100 on board with her, but like, honey, don't think about that when you're about to get married.
Sure. Yeah.
Be in the moment a little bit. Like, let's take it down a couple notches. But yeah, I mean, I think that, and that's what's interesting about both of the series is because there are so many layers to it that it can touch onto different fears that people have, whether it's, you know, like dementia or losing yourself, or, you know, losing yourself to a toxic relationship, or, you know, like anything that really happened in the series. But for me, the thing that I was like, you know, like most, I guess, I don't want to say unhappy because that makes it sound like I didn't like the show at the end. But like the thing that I was like, no, about was,
yeah,
you know, what happened to Danny in the end. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe that, I guess.
How did you feel about... did it not make you feel hopeful with the fact that you see her hand on her shoulder at the end?
No, because, like... To me, like, looking at that... Again, we're diving into psyches here. To me, that is, like... she's going to feel that loss forever until the moment that she dies. She's going to feel that loss. Like, that's how I saw that. Like, I know, and, you know, abstractly, I guess, like, I know that that's supposed to be a nice thing. Like, she's not gone. She's still with her. But for me, like, it's, I don't know, like, and again, this probably shows a lot about my psyche, but like you're going to hold on to that loss for the rest of your life. That's how heavy that loss is. So I don't know. I don't think I necessarily felt hopeful. I was just like,
Yeah, no, again, I like having these conversations because I find it fascinating, because it also fascinated me that basically like our fears are like two sides of the same coin, where you fear losing people, and I fear losing myself.
Yeah.
But in turn, I fear losing myself because of how it would affect the people around me. I don't like it.
Air hugs.
I'm gonna cry.
Oh, hugs, hug, virtual hugs.
I will keep it together. Okay, so related to things that we connect to besides this scene, I think actually that's still Owen, because Owen said it. So Owen at the rehearsal said, to truly love a person is to accept the work of loving them. To accept the work of loving them is worth the pain of losing them. Very poetic quote. So I think that one hit me. I was like, oh shit, okay, we're gonna, because that was early on. That was like the first episode. So I was just like, okay, so this is where we're going. I was already emotionally preparing myself at that point. She's like, okay, this is it. This isn't gonna be a fun romp, guys. Okay, so I think we're probably getting close to time, so we'll probably end up wrapping this up in a little bit. Let's see.
There's just like so much you can talk about.
I'm trying to find a good place to end, to, like, the last topic to end this on.
Can I mention one other moment that was like WTF?
Yes.
So when it was to the part where the kids were going to be possessed by Miss Jessel and Peter for the rest of their life, the one thought that crossed my mind was, these two people that are in love with each other romantically are planning on being in the bodies of a brother and sister. How is that going to work? You know, it's kind of gross. It's kind of gross.
That is really gross. Thanks, Jim.
Yes! See? I did my part to bring you back from the brink of emotional breakdown.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Good callback. That reeled me in real fast. so...
Ew.
I think I did have a moment, but everything was happening so quickly that I quickly pulled out of it. But I guess their plan was going to, like, I don't know, assume different identities and, like, go to the States probably and, like, pretend they weren't. I don't understand, because they're, like, children. Yeah. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. Definitely a what the fuck moment. What the fuck, Mike?
I had to take it there.
That's fair.
That
it's pretty gross.
I got nothing.
So
yeah.
I got nothing.
I will mention, should we just mention random things maybe here at the end?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Because I will say, I had a couple of frustrations, but one of my biggest ones is, who's the soldier ghost? They never explain
soldier
it.
Soldier ghost.
So, in the background, and there's multiple YouTube videos of all the ghosts that you miss in the background of the show. So, in the background, the one I kept seeing in particular was, like, some soldier who is, when we go through all of the ghosts of Bly Manor, he's not mentioned. Like, and in the YouTube video, I'm gonna have to send it to you guys, the YouTube video that I watched, like, the person who made it specifically mentioned, like, we don't know who this person is. They weren't in, we didn't get any backstory on them.
So it wasn't like one of the cats that she killed during when they were using it as, like, a safe haven during the war?
No, because she killed the doctor.
Oh, okay.
And it's not the doctor, because I never saw him, but there are points that you see the doctor in the background. There's just, like, a random soldier, and we don't know what his deal is. So I'm like, what's his deal? Who's this guy? I was kind of like, wait a minute. We need one more episode. Can we please explain who this soldier is? Because I'm just curious. I mean, like, it can kind of be explained away. Like you said, like, maybe it was a soldier who just died, you know, like, because he was sick, whatever. And maybe that's just it. But I was kind of like, everyone's got a story, but the soldier dude, who is this man? Yeah. So,
I think that he is supposed to be Henry's imaginary friend that he had when he was growing up, because he told her the story about, I had a friend when I was your age too. In this house, in fact, he was a soldier, but I was very afraid of him until I gave him a story.
See, and that's my, and thank you for mentioning that, because, like, that's why I got frustrated, because we don't know what his story is. What's the soldier story? So now, I don't know. I want to know what the deal is with that guy. That's it. And
I wonder if it's something that they filmed and then ended up in the cutting room floor, like, as just, like, excessive.
Which is, like, weird, detailed. Because, like, he's literally the only one that doesn't get explained. Mm-hmm. you know, like at all. Like it's just it's a weird, I don't know, it's a weird absence from the show. And then I guess the only other random thing I wanted to say, because we haven't really mentioned her much, is Kate Siegel is everything, and I love her. We're just all like, yes. Yeah. I really missed Theo, though.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I really missed Theo. We should do...
She is a powerhouse, I feel. Like, she's just... She's... I got nothing.
We just love her hard eyes.
Yeah, she's just so good, and she's just so visually striking. Mm-hmm. Like her, it's just she's a beautiful woman, sure, but she's just she has a presence.
Yes,
and obviously she'd be playing like these strong female characters, and I mean, but wow. Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah. And she does it in such a good way that, like, actually, a shout out to wifey Karen, because she mentioned this to me when we talked about it. And which, by the way, she read the book and everything. And, like, apparently it's, mm-hmm. like, really not anything like the book. Have either of you read the book before?
Mm-mm.
No. So apparently it's, like, very different.
Oh.
Which I guess was the case with Hill House too, but she mentioned that with Danny, in every aspect, she should kind of be like an unlikable character because she dresses so, like, she dresses super 80s, and she's got that like grating accent, and like, I mean, apart from the stuff that she goes through, like, essentially, like, you should kind of find her like annoying a little bit, but like, she's so lovable that like. I don't know. I thought that was a really interesting take on Danny. Like, there's not really, you know, something that you would immediately love about her, but like, you just love because the actress is so good, and because,
yeah,
I don't know. I thought that was an interesting take from wifey, but
she just played it so warmly. Yeah. I did find a little bit. I mean, she's very relatable, and you're definitely you feel that warmth, but. But I'm not gonna lie, I did find her a little bit, she was just too good for me.
Mm.
Like, she was just too much of a goody-goody for me. Like, I cared enough about her character, but it took me a little bit to be, like, I felt like I connected with others.
Yeah.
Quicker.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I do kind of get what Karen was saying just from the book perspective. But I don't know what that is. I don't know what that says about me. That probably says more about me than than the character.
That's the whole thing about, like, if you talk about Hill House or Bly Manor, you're gonna find out all about the inner workings of your brain.
Yeah, dude, it's all a psychology experiment. If you don't want to know the nooks and crannies of your brain, you may not be interested in watching this show. But if you really, really want to know how fucked up you are, watch these shows. I like to dive in because I feel like it does help me understand myself better, or like what motivates me sometimes. If you find yourself relating to some of the not as good qualities of some of the characters, it kind of makes you take pause.
Yeah.
Of like, I need to change some shit.
Yeah. I will say, I related to Pete more than I really wanted to. Like, that, I was like, wow, maybe we should go to therapy. But, yeah, just the fact that, like, It made sense to me in my brain, not what he did, not that like the things that he did were excusable, but I got why he did them. Like, when you have that kind of childhood and someone good comes into your life, like, you cling, like, you're like, this is mine. And I'm not letting go of this ever, ever, ever. Which obviously there's levels of that where you can really just be a clingy person, or you can be super possessive and scary and basically kill somebody because they need to stay with you forever. But yeah.
Yeah. We're not excusing that behavior. No. We're just saying we understand why that happens.
Yes.
we understand. It's important to actually see the triggers and those characteristics to recognize them in your own life, to realize, oh, this may potentially be an issue.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to at least watch these things and try to look for those cues and patterns in your own personal life. Not that you're the person doing them, but maybe the people around you are doing it and you're just unaware.
Yes.
So it's definitely a good way to see that. I think one of the characters too that I related to that I wasn't necessarily proud of was, like, I understood, Perdita was another one of the characters where it was just kind of like, she got to a breaking point after just being like the supportive, you know, sister and always kind of being second place and being comfortable with that and being patient and like having this chick in your life that's like always number one and is so stubborn and doesn't want to let things go, and like you respect her and you love her, and then you're like, you know what, I'm killing this bitch, I can't take it. And I was like, yeah.
I think everyone has had that, like, flash in their brain of, like, yeah. I can't take you anymore. Like, yeah. Please, in any aspect, get out of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes
just
sense.
Like, let's just burn it all down.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but again, it just, there, it's like you said, there's moments of every single character that you can definitely, you know, find a connection with, or they do something or say something that you, it really strikes a chord in you. I just personally did have, like, I did have a deeper connection, I feel, with Owen in a lot of different respects than everyone else, but not to say that I didn't have moments of connection with all of them. So, James, do you have any last words? Because I think I'm going to just wrap this up. Okay. Yes. There was very limited cursing in this. I'm kind of proud of myself. good reminder. All right, so just watch it, guys. Just watch it. Let us know your thoughts. I want to know what you think. I want to know who you related to the most. Did you like Bly Manor more than Hill House, or vice versa? Did you not like the Hill House ending like I did?
Wait, can we end on that, actually? Because I want to know with both of you, which one do you like better?
Oh. Overall?
Yeah. Hill House or Bly?
I wasn't ready for that.
I liked the ending of Bly Manor better, but I think Hill House resonated more with me. Because I don't know if it's just because I love scary stuff, but
yeah,
I just really loved Hill House. Yeah. And I love character and the twists and turns.
Guys, yeah, the ending was shit.
They did like a bait and switch. I'm like, you can't all of a sudden be in love with the house. You've been trying to get away from the house, and then in one episode, it was just like, it wasn't even the full episode. It was like half in like the later half of the episode. Everyone was just like, yeah, we'll just stay forever. It's like, no,
we need to have a whole nother episode discussing this, because that's not what I took from it at all. So that's really interesting to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I rewatch it a lot. I love the first season, but I never watched the ending.
I had no idea this was a thing. Okay.
Yeah,
we really might have to discuss this at some point, because now I'm interested.
Okay, yeah. No, we will. We'll yeah, for sure. Okay. So, I have a really soft spot for Hill House because it was the first one. I don't think I'm ever going to not think about it first. But Bly Manor fucked me up in a much more fundamental way. So I feel like I have to say Bly just because it did its work. I'll go with Bly. That'll change in like an hour. I'll go with Bly for now. It's on record. I'll go with Bly. Okay, guys. So yeah, go watch The Thing. Share with us if you have a chance. Make sure you subscribe to our newsletter, because death shall come if not.
Subscribe or die.
Such a weird thing to say, but I'll take
it. It's a great thing to say.
Yeah, you know, I'll take it.
Put
I like
fear
it.
Of God into your followers. Subscribe or die.
This is why I have Rachel doing most of the social media stuff. Because that's my approach to love.
There you go.
But anyway. Okay, so do that. And then our podcast is all over the damn place. So you know where to find it. It's on the list. You're listening to it. Duh. And duh. Yeah, that was a stupid thing to say. We're also on Twitch, so check us out on Thursdays for our Nerds Are Us, and on Sundays, which we may actually be changing that to Mondays, we don't know yet, for Curious Bites. We have a poll out to see when we should move it, so vote on that on Twitter. But yeah, we're everywhere at Nerdy Curious, but mostly on Twitter, as Rachel says. So come haunt us.
Ooh.
Be in the spirit. Yes. But yeah, we'll talk to you guys later, I suppose. Thank you for joining me, ladies.
Thank you.
Anytime.
All right, bye, nerds.
Bye.